Good evening, everyone. I still remember the last time I was standing here was probably 1 year ago at the end of the spring semester. But at that moment, I was here as a guest preacher. But today, I'm here as a member and an intern of this congregation. So this actually gives me more confidence, but also the burden is heavier because I know I have greater responsibility for you. So our text tonight is Psalm 70. So please open your Bible to Psalm 70. If you are using the Pew Bible, turn to page 614. Psalm 70 is a prayer of David. There are only 5 verses in this psalm, but there are 10 imperatives condensed in these 5 verses. And all these imperatives are addressed to God in a straightforward way. So when I read this psalm, I invite you to pay attention to the urgency, to the fervency of the tone of David in this psalm. This is the word of God. Now pay attention. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be put to shame and confusion who seek my life. Let them be turned back and brought to dishonor who delight in my hurt. Let them turn back because of their shame, who say, aha, aha. May all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say evermore, God is great. But I am poor and needy. Hasten to me, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay. Long time ago, a rich man's house caught on fire. In those days, there was no firefighter, so you could only resort to your neighbor's help to put out the fire. So immediately, the rich man sent out his son to go to the neighbors to ask for help. And his son happened to be a strict practitioner of etiquette. Having received this order from his father, this gentleman put on his best suit and top hat and went to the next door neighbor. He knocked at the door 3 times, and then waited patiently until the neighbor came to answer the door. Then he bowed politely to his neighbor and said, good morning, sir. How are you today? And after they exchanged greetings, the neighbor asked for the purpose of his visitation. Then the gentleman answered, oh, I'm so sorry to bother you, but my house is on fire, and I'm wondering if you can come with me and help me to put out the fire. So this funny story, so you can guess the result. When the neighbor arrived, the house had already burned to the ground. So this funny story actually comes from ancient Chinese literature. But this story is not really far from you. Sadly, it happens so often in our prayer life. When you approach the throne of God, do you sound more politely than urgently? And when was the last time when you pray, you ask God that God would act immediately and quickly, that God would make haste and hurry up? The art of urgency is very much lost in our prayer. And that's why we need to hear David's prayer in Psalm 70. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Come quickly to help me. Hurry to me, O God. Do not delay. Brothers and sisters, we need to restore the confidence of urging God in our prayer. We need to restore the practice of hastening God in our prayer. And in Psalm 70, David gives us three reasons to encourage us to hasten God in our prayer. And the first reason that David gives us to hasten God is that your enemies are wicked and vicious. Your enemies are diligent to tempt you and lead you astray. Your enemies are eager to attack you and take your life. That's why you must hasten your God in your prayer. In verses 2 and 3, we hear David's prayer against his enemies. David prays, "Let them be put to shame and confusion who seek my life. Let them be turned back and brought to dishonor who delight in my heart. Let them turn back because of their shame, who say, 'Aha, aha.'" So these are imprecatory prayers. These are harsh wishes. Shame, confusion, dishonor, these are unkind words. But it is appropriate for David to pray these curses against his enemies. Why? So do you know who David's enemies are? Surely you remember Saul, who wanted to pin David to the wall with his spear, who chased David even into the caves of the wilderness. Then there's Doeg the Edomite, who massacred the entire family of Ahimelech only because the priest hosted David for a single day. There's also Shimei the Benjaminite, who cursed David relentlessly while David was fleeing from Absalom, his son. And don't forget the Philistines, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Edomites, the Amalekites, who all fought against David with all hostility and cruelty. All of them are David's enemies. They are wicked and vicious. They are barking dogs. They are chasing wolves. They are hungry vultures. They are poisonous snakes. Because David understands how wicked and vicious his enemies are, he hastens God in his prayer. He hastens God to defeat his enemy and to deliver his life. Brothers and sisters, you may think that your enemies are not as wicked as David's enemies. Your life is never under threat. You may even think that you don't have any enemies. You are friends with everyone. But Apostle Peter reminds you that your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. So your enemy is as vicious as a roaring lion. Your enemy is as wicked as to devour your life. So how can you not hasten God to help you when your enemy is prowling around you and seek to take your life? Then how about the enemies who persecute Christians all around the world? How about ISIS, who kills thousands of Christians in the Middle East? How about the Muslim mobs who upheld blasphemous laws against Christians in Pakistan? And how about the communist government who disbanded churches, burned Bibles, and arrested church leaders in China? The list can go on and on. But the question is, do you really consider these enemies as your enemies? Yes, they are distant from you. Yes, they cannot do any direct harm to you. But are they not enemies of your brothers? Are they not enemies of the Church of Christ? So they are also your enemies. Brothers and sisters, when our enemies are shedding the blood of our fellow believers, shall we not hasten God to put them to shame and dishonor? When our enemies are attacking the Church of Christ, shall we not pray that they will immediately be turned back and brought into shame? And when our enemies are boasting, are saying, aha, aha, to God's people, shall we not say, amen, amen, to David's imprecatory prayer? So brothers and sisters, hasten God in your prayer, because your enemies are wicked and vicious. Now let's turn to the second reason for us to hasten God, and that is, our God is great and compassionate. Because your God is great. He is able to save your life. Because your God is compassionate, He is ready to save your life. And that's why you can hasten God in your prayer. And that's how David prays in verse 4. David prays in these words, may all who seek you be glad and rejoice in you. May those who love your salvation say evermore, God is great. This prayer tells us that David knows his God. He knows that God is compassionate. So he invites us to seek him and enjoy him. He knows that God is great. So he invites us to worship him and glorify him. David's prayer actually echoes our shorter catechism. When we say man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever, we affirm with David that because our God is great, we should glorify him. And because our God is compassionate, we could enjoy him. Brothers and sisters, do you really know your God as David knows his God? Do you know that your God is great and compassionate? Your enemies seek your life, but your God will save you. Your enemies desire ruin, but your God will establish you. Your enemies are wolves, but your God is the good shepherd, and he will deliver you out of the mouth of your enemies. Your enemies are vultures, but your God is the mother hen, and he will gather you under the shadow of his wings. Your enemies are wicked and vicious, but your God is great and compassionate. Do you know the shortest prayer in the Bible? It's in Peter's prayer, found in Matthew 14. When Peter saw Jesus was walking on the sea, he intended to go to Jesus. But as soon as he got out of the boat, he became afraid and began to sink. And then he cried out, Lord, save me. It's a short and a quick prayer. Only three words, but it's really powerful. because at that critical moment, Peter knew that his Lord was great and compassionate. He knew that Jesus was able and ready to save him. That's why he prayed, "O Lord, save me." And his prayer was answered when Jesus immediately reached out his hands and took hold of Peter. So let us pray like David and Peter. With all holy reverence and confidence, let us present our urgent pleas to God to ask him to act quickly and immediately to deliver our life, to defeat our enemies. Brothers and sisters, hasten God in your prayer because your God is great and compassionate. Now let me give you one more reason to hasten God. And the reason is, you are poor and needy. You may realize that your enemies are wicked and vicious. You may acknowledge that your God is great and compassionate. But you will never feel the urge to hasten God unless you truly confess that you are poor and needy. David is a mighty warrior and a great king. But yet even David confesses in verse 5, "I am poor and needy. God is great, but I am poor and needy." I believe this is the most powerful words that we could ever say to God. "I am poor and needy." This confession leaves God with no choice but to come quickly and help us. Because our God is a God who is obliged to save the poor and the needy, and his power is made perfect in our weakness. I am poor and needy. When a father hears such a confession from his child, how could he not respond immediately? How could he not show his mercy immediately? So 2 years ago, our first son, Kai, at that time, the only son, Kai, he had a very high fever. In the middle of the night, my wife, Amy, went to Kai's bedroom to check his temperature. And soon, I heard her scream. So I rushed into Kai's room, and I found Kai was having a seizure. His little body was shaking violently, but his limbs remained rigid. His eyes were rolling, his tongue was hanging out, and there was foam at his mouth. It was the scariest thing that I have ever seen in my life. So we called the ambulance immediately. And while we were waiting, we felt that we were losing Kai. Little by little, second by second, and we could do nothing to keep him from leaving us. At that point, we knelt down and prayed with tears. We cried out, "Oh God, our son Kai, he is poor and needy, and we are poor and needy. But you our help and deliverer. So Lord, come quickly and save our son." So God answered our prayer. Kai was saved, and he grows to be a healthy and energetic troublemaker. He's always active. He's always running around, climbing around, but I always remember the scene of his having seizure and remember how Amy and I were kneeling down around him and praying for him. This incident reminds me permanently that Kai is poor and needy, and I am poor and needy. Not only when we are in troubles, and crisis. Not only when we are sick and weak, but we are poor and needy all the time. And we need God to be our help and our deliverer all the time. And we need to hasten God all the time because we are poor and needy. We must hasten God to help us. And because we are poor and needy, God must make haste and must not delay. Because otherwise, we will perish. So brothers and sisters, the more you realize how poor and needy you are, the more confident you will become to hasten God in your prayer. There's no better way to speed God's help than confessing that you are poor and needy. Your God is great, is compassionate, so he is able and ready to save the poor and the needy. So Psalm 70 is a short, urgent, and a powerful prayer of David. In this prayer, David gives us three reasons to hasten God. But it's more than a prayer of David. I invite you to turn your Bible to Psalm 40 and turn your attention to verses 6, 13 through 17. If you pay attention to these verses, you'll find the exact words of Psalm 70. It shows us that Psalm 70 is actually a portion of Psalm 40. And what do we know about Psalm 40? It's a very obvious messianic psalm. And in this psalm, we will find familiar words of Jesus. In burnt offerings and sin offerings, you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come to do your will. Therefore, Psalm 70 is more than a prayer of David. It's a prayer of Jesus. It's a prayer of Jesus when he was humiliated and tortured by his enemies on the cross. It's a prayer of Jesus when he was feeding most poor and needy. It's a prayer of Jesus when he offered himself as a sacrifice to the great and compassionate God. Brothers and sisters, our Savior Jesus, he came down from heaven, and for our sake, he died on the cross, and he became the most needy and a poor person. But third day, he rose again from the dead, and he ascended into heaven. So now he is sitting at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and he is our great and compassionate high priest. He is interceding for us. He is praying together with us. He shall come again to destroy our wicked and vicious enemies. So brothers and sisters, let us with confidence join our heavenly high priest Jesus Christ to hasten God in our prayer and to hasten our Lord Jesus, that he may come quickly, that he may come quickly and deliver us, that he may come quickly to defeat our enemies, that he may come quickly to welcome us into his glorious kingdom. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you give us this prayer
this prayer of your son when he felt poor and needy, just as we are poor and needy right now. Lord, we have the confidence, we have the boldness to hasten you because of Jesus Christ, because he gave us this song. He encourages us to hasten you in our prayer. So Lord, we pray that you will help us to see that our enemies are wicked and vicious. Help us to see that our God, you, are great and compassionate. To help us recognize that we are always poor and needy. So Lord, use these reasons to hasten us to come to your throne, that we might hasten you to come and save us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. He is our King and Priest. He is our Savior. Amen.